Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is Tuesday, September 10th, 2013. I do want to let everyone know ahead of time that I have transitioned the interview with Cobra to next Tuesday. He had a schedule conflict, so just stay tuned, and all of your questions will be answered next week. Well, as many as we can get answered, okay? So with that said, I'd really like to introduce you to a really cool guy named David Almeida. And interestingly enough, he retired from a professional career in investigation back in 2010 and has written several books. He's done a lot of study in the metaphysical realm. He even has some connections with Arthur Waite, which he'll tell you a little bit about. And he's written a couple of really interesting books. One's called The Body Alive Principle, which I found very interesting, talking about the sentient beings within the cells, the organs, and systems. And with that said, I could go on, but you guys know I have limited time here, so let's just get to the meat and potatoes. So hi, David. How you doing? Thanks for coming on with me.
Hi, Alexander. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you are most welcome. And today, I think what David and I both agreed on is just looking at the pulse of the world and the changes that are in place and the magnificent amount of upheaval, both inwardly and outwardly, that is going on. It's very important for us to discuss and process what we truly are experiencing. And I think most importantly, David is being very open and very upfront about the fact that he just experienced a second awakening, which has kind of rattled his cage. I'd like to start out with that, David, and talk a little bit about where you were before and where you are now with the second awakening you just went through.
Okay. I became aware of Arthur Waite as a presence in my life about 2 years ago, and a lot of things were happening, and I started experiencing things I had no knowledge of with just physical appearances of these shadow people and all kinds of, I guess, what would be evil spirits. And this Arthur, he was coming through mediums, lots of them, very distinctly, as a writer, and I became aware of him as a past life personality. And just things just kept continuing to move, and it moved quickly. And, you know, I began writing these books, and then I began writing articles and metaphysical theories, and lots of stuff was coming out of me inspirationally. And it was really an amazing process of self-discovery. But it finally got to the point recently, within the last couple of weeks, where I begin to really have a lot of revelations about many different things regarding my history, and I'm sure people will see some of those articles about some of my insight into the Golden Dawn and the things that really went on. I don't believe there's any information about that in current literature.
So you were very involved with the Golden Dawn?
Well, you know, I didn't know a lot about Arthur Waite, and I didn't know his history, and I wasn't familiar with him prior to this entirely. But, yeah, I realized that he was the leader, and so I did become aware of a lot of this mystical lineage that I had going all the way back to Egypt and the mystery schools and in the Templars, and a Templar actually did come through the medium, but I only know so much, and I just want your listeners to be aware of that I'm not aware of a lot of these conspiracy theories that are out there. I think my higher self, that Arthur calls the greater self, they withhold a lot of information from you because it's not conducive to what you're doing now, and it could also be traumatic. So if anybody is going to ask me about that or wants to, I'd rather they didn't, because I don't have the answers at this point. And I know you know that, Alexander, and that's probably why you're not telling me a lot of what's going on, because I don't know too much about UFOs and space beings. And I do know a lot about dark forces, and there's quite a bit that I've just found out about recently. But, my higher self did come through to my body, and so So when you talk to me, you are talking to my higher self, but even so, I don't have a lot of awareness of a lot of these things, and anything that I have to say, I've written about, and I'm very genuine about that, and I'm certainly going to tell you whatever I do know, and you can ask me whatever you want, but what I've written and what you're asking me is the extent of what I know.
Well, and that's okay. That's why we have you on the show. The only thing I would call you on is there is really no such thing anymore as conspiracy theory. conspiracy, period. There's just a mountain of proof on it. But with that said, tell us a little bit more about your long mystical lineage with ancient Egypt and how that has brought you to where you are today with your second awakening.
Right. Well, you know, I had understood that there was a lot of things going on, and I did, of course, get this from my greater self, that, you know, these secret societies and these mystery schools, I used to tell people that the reason these societies were secret is because of persecution and because that, you know, fear of persecution and whatnot because of what they were doing, but I was certainly kidding myself, and there was a lot of things going on. There was a lot of abuse, and there was a lot of different things. And, of course, there was a lot of guilt involved in that, but that wasn't even the issue. It was even bigger than that, having to do with some kind of a being came before me, and I was more or less judged during a meditation. And they said, you know, your greater self should have withheld a lot of mystical knowledge that should have been let out to the world. And because of that, you know, the spiritual growth process and the spiritual evolution was retarded a little bit. So it was slowed. And so, you know, yes, I, you know, was responsible for some of that, but I certainly take responsibility for my part in it.
Well, that's a pretty heavy load, huh? To handle the process. But you know what, David? I don't think there's a person on the planet that doesn't have that same ownership of retarding our spiritual growth. I really don't. I mean, maybe not at the extent that you have or I have or anybody else, but I think we all have contributed to that. That is what this final end of the world age, going into the new golden age, is all about. Is really uncovering, discovering the real us, which is you got to look at the shadow side. You got to look at some of the things that you've done that really weren't so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we've all played those roles, and you know the thing is if you couldn't possibly come into this world as a light being and you know not experience being human, and because you can't, you have to play all of these roles. You have to do these things, and we've all done it, and it's just part of our spiritual growth and our personal growth. That's how we learn. And, you know, I think that whoever's cosmic administrators was the word I got from Arthur once as a simple term. They weren't really seeing the results that they wanted from this particular, you know, human experiment, if you will. I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And they want growth, and they're not seeing that growth. And so,
you know, you mentioned something before about this to me where, you know, we're getting to a time where things are so horrendous in parts of the world, if not around the world, that you have to step back and say, why? And talk to us a little bit about your perception as far as humanity and the choices that we've made and why we're here right now.
You know, I think one of the things is, it really comes down to conflict. Conflict is, people don't understand what conflict means, and conflict is meant to help us learn and get lessons and grow, and no one ever learned that. You know, we've had, conflict is about resolving things and learning from them, like lead into gold, the alchemical process, and we've had religious wars going on for 2,000 years, and this should have never have happened. We've had people reincarnating life after life after life in their relationships, never learning anything, and that's not supposed to happen. And if whoever these people are that are running this, I call it an experiment, but I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're not, I think they don't like that. And this is why a lot of when they stop getting the growth, they will end the experiment. They'll start another one, just like they did with Atlantis and Lemuria. You know, they'll let it go for as long as it's as they're getting good outcomes from it. And conflict is a good part of that, and that's something that we need to learn, and that's what this transformation is all about. You know, it's about conflict, and it's not a bad thing. We take, there's so many things that we have misunderstood, like stress and guilt and pain. Those things are very necessary for us, not to an overwhelming extent, but like guilt, and these are things that we need, they're challenges and they're tests for us, and we need to overcome those things in order to get those positive outcomes. And people, I see it in the magazines all the time, how to get rid of stress, how to get rid of negativity, and you can't, because they're yours and they're in the world, and the situations that you create, they're yours. You can't give those things away. You need to deal with those things, and that's part of responsibility.
And are we supposed to give them away, or are we supposed to process them, embrace them, learn from them, and take less of a polar perspective of them? You know, I mean, that is really where we're at, is learning to perceive ourselves in a completely different way.
That's right. And I'll tell you, the transformative process hit me mentally and emotionally. And I'll tell you, even I thought I was awakened, and I thought I knew a heck of a lot because of my mystical lineage, and I knew very little when I got done with it. And it hits you really hard, and it hits you on many levels, and it is very painful, and I'm not going to kid anybody. Again, a lot of people will see the physical devastation of it, but the process that I went through, they make you look at yourself. They make you look deep inside yourself and find out things about yourself that you don't want to know about. And I had always looked at mystics. They follow the path of illumination, which means they're looking for power or knowledge in the higher worlds, outside, in the outer world. And enlightenment, I believe, this is what I've gotten recently, is that it's an inner exploration of yourself, and I didn't get that. And through this transformative process, I understand that there's things within yourself that you need to face, and you need to explore in order to transform and in order to improve yourself, which is the whole point of life. It's to improve and refine aspects of your character. And so, again, this is all very necessary. And yes, there is going to be a lot of destruction, and you know, that's what's going on.
Well, I think the destruction too can be perceived as the classic, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without. And you know, I'm a homeopath, so I get that whole thing about if you look within and you're completely honest with yourself, you will find a war or a battle or a conflict or a judgment somewhere, somehow within yourself. And it may not be in this lifetime. It may be on a different timeline that you need to incorporate into this one. I mean, that's the kind of work I do, is I'm seeing over and over and over again that we have come here, I tell people this all the time, we've come here with very heavy, loaded backpacks of stuff that we want to unload. And the way in which to do that is to understand that our other timelines that we have fragmented into are a crucial part in our healing process. You know, I'm wondering, you seem to know quite a bit about getting into those other timelines, having a perspective because of your psychic abilities. How do you feel about that?
I knew about these timelines. There's a lot of things that I knew about, but until you experience them, it's entirely different. You know, it's mm-hmm. your own, it's not the same as your knowledge and your intellect. And I certainly knew that time wasn't linear, and I knew it wasn't, I knew that there were many different alternate realities and many different past lives and future lives. And of course, it happens all at once. I'm not totally clear on all this, but, and I know that there's civilizations across the universe and alien, extra-dimensional aliens and all kinds of things, but I didn't know until this point. I didn't experience it, and I'd met one of these higher beings, and I understood these timelines a little bit, And when this paradigm hit me, the main theme revolved around one of my relationships in a past life, I believe having to do with Arthur. And it was, you know, there was a couple of things. One of them was in my relationship with this life that was getting resolved, and then there was with this other person. And I had, you know, the people have been showing up in my life in the last couple of weeks, and it was just, I was totally unprepared for all of this. And this particular person, it hit me so hard because I, just, like I said, I wasn't expecting it. And, you know, and she was telling me about a lot of the good things that I didn't see in myself, and at the same time pointing out many character issues that I need to work on. And, you know, you just, and nobody had ever said these things to me, and it wasn't something that I wanted to hear.
Right.
But again, those are the things that you need to hear, you know, so.
Well, you know what, David, do me a favor for the people that are not aware of who Arthur Waite is. Can you give people a little bit of background as to how you consider him to be your past life personality and who he is?
Sure. Arthur Waite was most well known for his tarot cards, the Rider-Waite deck, which interestingly, I did not bring into this life. I do not have any skills with the tarot, and I know a lot of people have approached me about that. You know, but that's not the point of reincarnation. You don't always do the same things that you've done before because there's no growth in that. And he was the leader of the Golden Dawn, as far as I know. And you know, again, I don't have a lot of knowledge of that, but. He was also an occult history writer. He was a British writer in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He wrote a lot on the Rosicrucians, and he was a spiritualist and a Rosicrucian just as I was in this life. And so there were a lot of similarities. And, of course, I brought his writing skills into this life, although I'm not writing about anything that he wrote about, I believe. And my writing's probably entirely different. And the funny part is I've tried to read his books and I didn't understand a lot of it, and I don't really have a lot of interest in it. So
So basically you may have been him in a past life, but that doesn't mean anything as far as where you are now.
Right. And, right. You know, it was just he came into this life because there were things that I needed to deal with.
So do you feel that, you know, through your communications with Arthur Waite, do you feel that you're here possibly to do some of the healing of, I feel very strongly about the Hermetic teachings. I worked with a master for a couple of years, and it's greatly influenced me and affected me, which is probably one of the connections you and I have. I also studied the Rosicrucian information as well, and I was invited into that whole paradigm. But with that said, you know, do you feel that maybe that's one of the things that's going on with you, is you're here to kind of take the mystery out of the mystery schools?
I believe so. You know, there's a few things about that that you just said. You know, one of the things I think that your listeners should know is that the modern Rosicrucian orders that I know of, they have nothing to do with what went on back then. And they're very open to anybody. You know, they do have their White Lodge and their White Brotherhood, and I have seen them do, you know, I don't detect anything that they're doing that contributes to anything but good.
I agree.
And good. And, you know, I do see some other Golden Dawn members coming into their awakening as to who they were. And again, a lot of these souls from these mystery schools that were involved in withholding information and whatnot and control, they're now coming forward into this transformation just as I am, and trying to, you know, help out, I guess, and heal. And they want to heal themselves, and they also want to heal the world. And I think that's really important that people know that. And they're certainly going to be very straightforward, and, you know, they want to change just like everybody else.
So what do you want to do?
Everything seems to be falling into place as to how I met you and whatnot. You know, and it's funny because when you sent me the invitation, I knew it was coming, and I knew what you were getting at, and I almost didn't want to email you back because I was just so, you know, it's just so overwhelming, and I just almost didn't want to go down this road and be here talking to you right now. I mean, I really do. Obviously, I'm here, but you know, there was that hesitancy because, you know, I knew who you were and you are, and you know, your listeners should know that you're doing a great thing for the world, and I'm really impressed at how much you care for this world and the person that you are. And you know, I just, you know, people, I have a lot of respect for you for that, and that you're willing to just, you know, take this on, because it's such a huge thing.
I really, really appreciate that. You have no idea, because it's just, you know, it's a lot of hours, and it's not a job where I get a paycheck, you know, and yet I don't even think about that. Honestly, I'm so passionate about wanting to help my fellow human.
I can see that in you. You're a very genuine person.
You know, and I've been this way since I was a little girl, and I truly love humanity, and I get so inspired when I see through the blogging that I do, I can see the progress that is taking place. You know, I tend to always be an individual that sees the glass half full because I choose to live my life that way. You know, but I think one of the things you mentioned to me was turning a negative experience into a positive outcome. I'd kind of like you to talk a little bit more about that with the audience, because this is a tough time. Even those that I know that have just really got their act together, they've done a lot of spiritual journey, a lot of inner work. There's things that they just thought they were completely done with. It's just kind of like what you just went through with your second awakening. And there, a lot of stuff's coming up. It's like, oh my God, do I have to process again? You know, how do people, what do you recommend people do to turn some of this intensity and negativity into a positive outcome?
Okay, great. I will tell you what I think of that. What I've seen over the last couple of decades, and it's probably been going on for quite some time, I've had coaches, life coaches, calling me from, or emailing me from other countries even, and they're asking me, how do I get good clients? I don't want negative clients. I don't want negativity in my life. And, you know, the fact is whether you're a coach or anyone else, you need that negativity. You need to overcome that stuff. You can't be an effective life coach or an effective person in any field of endeavor until you learn to take that on and transform that into a positive outcome, into something, you know, that conflict. You have to do that. And you can't relieve yourself of stress entirely. You can't relieve yourself of guilt. These negative things that we don't want are the things that we need. We wouldn't have so many, you know, I spent a lot of time in criminal defense as an investigator, and we wouldn't have prison overcrowding if all of these offenders just had a little sense of guilt and remorse, not long-term guilt, because that'll destroy you, but, and it's the same thing with stress. We need a moderate amount of stress. You know, it's like the rubber band. You can stretch it, and you need to stretch it so far so that it's useful. You don't need it to break, but, you know, because there's a lot of people that have been knocked down that never got back up with their illnesses. And that's not the point of it. But the point is not to, you know, try to remove it from you, because these are your experiences. Everything you experience is based on the stress and the guilt and the pain and whatnot. And trying to run from it and avoid it is a big mistake. And this is exactly why we're in this situation. And as a matter of fact, there's a person that I talked to you, and I think you said it was okay to mention him.
Yes, go ahead.
And he's perfectly told me to do this. There's a person named David Quigley, Quigley, of the Alchemical Institute, alchemicalinstitute.com. And he is a past life regression therapist. And I got trained under him as an advanced past life regression therapist. Arthur Waite calls it confrontational therapy. An author also calls this the age of consciousness, for what it's worth. But this confrontational therapy that David Quigley is teaching people, he's teaching people to go out and do this. And Arthur identified him as a person that is very involved in what's going on with you and myself and whoever else is emerging from this as a healer, because a lot of the healing that's going to go on in the future is mind-body, you know, using your mind to just clear things and keep yourself healthy and in every way. Yes. And this past life regression therapy works for things that are in your life now and things in past lives, and it forces you, and I hate to use the word forces, but we might as well be blunt and not sugarcoat it.
Right.
These are things that you will have to face, and this kind of therapy will force you to face those things in your past lives through hypnotic visualization and whatnot, to acknowledge these things and overcome them. And certainly people will have to ease into it, because you can't always be have it slammed in your face, because you will have a nervous breakdown. And maybe I'm wrong with that. Maybe that is what's going to happen to a lot of people. Maybe they just will get slammed with it like I did. But, you know, some people are able to handle these things better than others, so I really don't know all the answers on that. But this David Quigley, if people want to be a healer, or if they're already awakened to a point and they want to make it to the next stage of their awakening, I highly recommend that they seek him out and do that.
I like the fact that it's related to alchemy, because I just feel that that really is the way of the future. And of course, it's been here since the beginning of time, but it really truly is the best pathway. I mean, I really believe in the things that I do with the remedies I make, and they're very similar in the fact that they're assisting the individual in facing themselves, all of themselves, all of their timeline. And it sounds like I'm intrigued to see how he incorporates this with past life regression.
He is, you know, and he's very aware of you, and he's very aware of what's going on. And I had a session with him, and Arthur came through and spoke through me and spoke to him for an hour about everything that's going on. And he's very aware of this Armageddon. And so, you know, he would be willing to come on your show. He told me that.
Okay.
And express his opinions. But yeah, that's what it's all about. It's a tough thing.
Well, so now you've done that, and you've actually become a past life regression therapist. So, you know, what do you feel, you know, you've been able to assist people in resolving conflict? I mean, has it been fairly rapid? I mean, that's probably one of the first questions that healers and practitioners will ask you, is they just want to get her done. is this an effective way of doing that?
You know, I think I've been a hypnotist for quite a while, and I think that the mind can heal almost everything, if not everything, that something is, any kind of disturbance in the body. And of course, I've written about the Body Alive method, Body Alive principle. So yes, I do very much believe in that. I was an investigator for 20 years, and investigators are problem solvers, and I was always trying to solve other people's problems, infidelity, child support, all kinds of legal problems, and, you know, I could never do it. I realized that I was just, by them hiring me, I was literally contributing to their problem, and I finally stopped. I said, just being so ineffective in this role, because people just don't listen. They have it in their mind that they're going to do a certain thing, the vengeance and the vindictiveness, and that was all I ever saw. So, you know,
yeah.
I figured it was time to just
That is
do the next
awesome.
Thing.
What an awesome testimonial. Look how much you've grown. I mean, when you had your first kind of aha, how old were you? How long ago was that?
Wow, you know, I started, even when I was a kid, I started noticing that there was something about the world, you know, that just, I felt that there was something more to it, and certainly I started looking into supernatural stuff here and there as a teenager with an interest. And I guess those were early signs of the whole mysticism. But it didn't really hit me until I turned, I knew a lot, but it didn't hit me until I was 40, you know, 43 now. But I really started to become aware, and Arthur came into my life, and I was like, wow. And I thought some of these things that I had seen, these evil spirits, because, you know, they had been attracted to me, and they still are because of my role in the past.
Especially, well, it's not just your role in the past. It's if you're a really bright light, which I find you to be, and you know, you're doing the world a service yourself by just coming out and being so open and honest. It's like, come on, guys, do we really have to be ashamed? We don't. We're all in this together. We have to be able to take off the veil. You know, if the world is taking off the veil, why do we think the world can take the veil down, but we can't?
And you know, one of the things I heard from Arthur, or from my higher self, whatever, we're integrated anyways as they are, but he told me that he had written, an article, I think it was called The Dark Secrets of Arthur Waite or something in the Secret Societies. And, of course, there was a lot of information in there that, it wasn't the total picture that I know now, but he had told me that people need to take responsibility for themselves. And by me, you know, there's that hypocrite thing. And so Arthur found it necessary, and my higher self found it necessary that we step forward first and say, yes, we are taking responsibility for what we have done, just to show you that, you know, we're not doing what we're doing what we're asking everybody else to do.
Yes.
As part of this transformative process, because it's very necessary.
God, that so resonates with me. I so agree. And it's a really big deal that if you're going to, okay, I'm going to use the word lead, which people have a problem with, but the bottom line is if we stop attaching all this stuff to a word and we just look at the actual etymology of the word itself, those of us that have the time, have the resources, have the strength, have the ability to handle adversity, whatever it is that's caused us to step forward and do the things we're doing right now in a big way, you know, we're being supported to do that. Those of us that are taking those so-called leadership roles, we have accountability as well. It's very important for us to be stepping into our own stuff. And you know, being authentic. This is a time of authenticity.
That's right.
You know, we cannot expect something of someone else if we ourselves are not that.
And, you know, that was one of the really big things that hit me in my, I guess, intervention last week with this person. she really told me about being authentic and, you know, not hiding and being who you're showing the world who you really are, rather than hiding behind saying that I was successful as a private investigator and, you know, really pushing that so that people would be impressed and, you know, using Arthur Waite to impress people, which I don't think I really did. I never used Arthur Waite to impress anybody, because if I wanted to use Arthur Waite to impress people, I would have been pushing the whole tarot card thing and everything else, and I'm not. But, you know, but this woman was very right, even though I didn't want to hear it, about being authentic. And so that's where I'm at now. And that, you know, there is a lot of pain involved in that.
Yeah, you know, but also at the same time, what you're also indicating is something that all of us struggle with, and that is coming out of our caves. We have this joke amongst my circle, and that is, oh man, do I have to come out of my cave today? We have isolated ourselves so significantly from the countless lives that we've been persecuted in because of what we knew or because of whatever we carried, whatever information we had, that it's this lifetime that we're really being challenged. I don't know if I've read one and I've read 50 different channelings, not that I'm, you know, totally into channelings, but I'm just saying they do have some pearls of wisdom in them. And they all say pretty much the same thing, which is, hey, guys, step out of your houses. Step out of your little offices. Step out of your little comfort zones. We need you. We got to wake up the world. And that's exactly where you're at. If you think about it, is you're just stepping out of one ego, you know, based experience into another.
That's right. And it's funny that you just said that, because I just had another revelation. I remember I was at a meditation circle at my spiritualist church, and the pastor, she gave a message, and she said, "The message that I'm getting is wake up." And I had no idea what she was talking about. And she said, just like drinking a cup of coffee, she said, wake up. And she really didn't elaborate on it, but now I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, because we think about it. If you think about all the other lifetimes we've had, and where we have been hunted down, we have been drawn and quartered and hung and you know, you name it, right? Bludgeoned incarcerated because of what we know, or the fact that we held on to our Christ consciousness commitment. If you think about that, what are we carrying into this lifetime as a mass consciousness? And that right there is the crux, I feel, and that is the fear of being found out.
You're right. That's true.
It's so big. It's so deep. I do a lot of work with that, with the remedies. So this is our responsibility as a mass consciousness.
That's right. You can't blame the government for what we allowed it to do. And I'm not saying that there isn't something going around, you know, going wrong with that government. There certainly is. And I'm sure there's a lot behind it that needs to be taken care of. But again, we gave the government that power. And if in any government or in any secret society, people give up their power, nobody can do anything to you. Even demons, they have no power. I mean, there was literally a demon in me that came out during that transformative process last week. And the reason it was in me is because I had all those feelings that it attached to, and they will do that, and they will take possession of you that way. And I had no idea, and hopefully it got purged. But, you know, again, by not facing your demon, literally, they will stay there and they will feed on you. So was that the demon's fault, or was that my fault? Or, you know, was it nobody's fault? Maybe it was just that I didn't recognize it and didn't take care of it when I should have, you know.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because one of the things I read in your materials was not to give evil spirits any attention, that they will tend to just hang out in a hospitable environment and they won't leave. And if you take your focus off of them, they lose a lot of their power. Now, with that said, what I'm also finding out there right now, David, is implants are really coming to the surface. And there isn't a person on this planet that has not been implanted, period. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. We've all been implanted, okay? And it was some sort of, I don't know, contract or whatever. But the bottom line is it is a pivotal piece in clearing yourself of these so-called demons. With that said, I really agree with you that you don't want to walk around and go, oh, God, you know, I'm possessed, or, oh, I've got all these voices in my head and I don't have any control over it, and you know, I can't do it, because all you're doing is just giving your power away.
That's right. And they're there. You have to realize that I've seen them, and they are in the environment, and you just can't give in to them. You can't, you know, give them so much attention, and they love that. And
didn't you say something, David, about evil spirits are actually, they're just the same as you and me? They just, tell me a little bit about that. I thought that was fascinating.
You know what? One of the things I became aware of, or maybe my higher self became aware of, is that throughout my mystical lineage, we were, because my greater self was, you know, seeking illumination, and power and control and whatnot, we would seek out these darker spirits, not just darker spirits, but common, I don't like the word astral, but common astral entities in the universe, or in the multiverse, as I like to call it. And we thought that they had power. They had nothing. We totally went about it the wrong way. But these guys, these demons and evil spirits, whatever they are, there's so many beings in the universe. There's all kinds of civilizations and extraterrestrial aliens. And these evil spirits are nothing more than no different from any of the rest of them. It's just that they do have this evil quality. It's evil is their nature, but it's not, you know, it's just what they are. It's their nature. And you will feel, and I can feel that when they're in the room. I can intensely feel evil, maybe because I had an experience with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think too much of them anymore. And they physically assaulted me, and, you know, so, you know, so what?
I've had the same experience where I've been brought down, literally brought down many times, just because I'm, you know, I've been a spiritual warrior on the other side. But what I also find is the less I fear, you know, the more I stand in my authority. That's like so big right now, David, is people really getting that, really getting how powerful they really are. And if you don't really believe that you're powerful, then go out and prove to yourself that you're powerful. This is the time that the universe is fully supporting you right now.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And if you... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's right. And if we give our power away, and that's how we allow these dictators to do what they do in the governments of the world. You know, we allow them to pass laws, and we allow them to set up these social programs so that we can feel comfortable and let somebody take care of us. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The government's not supposed to take care of us and do everything for us. We're supposed to think for ourselves. That's why we have an intellect, and that's part of our personal growth. And we need to know that we have our power. We are supreme beings, and we are co-creators of the universe, and we don't have to give that away. And so now we're in the situation where, yes, we've got to take it back, and it certainly is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's such a big deal that everybody's watching us.
I'm
you
sure.
know, and they're thinking, okay, how are they going to get out of this mess? Now, on the one hand, we do have a lot of support right now, as I think you agree. On the other hand, it's up to us to really turn this around. And the only way that we as a mass consciousness can turn this around is if every single solitary one of us decides to get up tomorrow and make something different. Whether it's the way they perceive themselves to be, whether it's the way they perceive their jerk boss that they think they can't stand working for, whether it's the way that they drive to work, change it. This is a time of change. It's a time that's being supported to change. And my God, I'm telling you, the moment you're in that, once you're in that energy that you've made a decision, it is all going to blow you away because there's so much less obstacles to overcome these days.
That's right. And, you know, we need to stop playing the victim. Stop letting your therapist tell you that this was all your parents' fault, or, you know, stop taking the Prozac and the different drugs that push down your emotions and set them aside for later because they need to be dealt with. And these healthcare systems contributing to a lot of this, to a lot of what's going on, taking away people's power, and so sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I think it's hilarious that we're talking about taking away people's power, and this guy is actually blowing leaves.
You know, I've got dogs inside, and I go outside to get away from the dogs, and they're still. Terrible.
You just have to laugh about it. That's too funny. You know, you made a really good comment about this is a time for people to just kind of face their stuff and work it out. But what if we're making this a lot more difficult than it needs to be? And the reason I say that is there are no more so-called contracts anymore. There's no so-called perceived karma anymore. It's only if we believe it to be. And if we come up with something from an alternate timeline that we have done, and it's not so nice, which my husband's been going through that big time, very similar to you, David. You know, it's not where you are now. It's just something you have to forgive, say, well, you know, I did that then, and I learned my lesson. I mean, the thing is, we're not alone in this adventure. Every single one of us is lifting up pieces of the onion and finding, wow, I wasn't such a nice person in that lifetime. Wow, I had like people beheaded or whatever it is, you know. It's all part of the process. But how long do we linger on that? How long do we beat ourselves up for it? How long do we process it? This is a time of immediate change. That's what I keep going back to with you. It's very important that we recognize it's in the split second of making the decision and recognizing who we are and where we're going. Because I tell you what, it's a lot more exciting where we're going than where we've come from. That's just my opinion.
No, I agree with that. And like I said, there's guilt, and then there's long-term guilt. And, you know, some of these things are necessary, and some of them are counterproductive. And I know you'll see that in one of my articles in my blog about guilt. With this person that I had a relationship with, he was holding on to guilt for a long time. And I said, you don't. And I didn't say anything. I just said, you just need to let it go and forgive yourself, you know. And that's what we need to do if we want to survive.
I one of the things that you wrote was, I realized that the real power is not to be found in the universe, but by the work that we do in improving ourselves in this life. That's probably one of the most beautiful statements I've written. I mean, I've read of your stuff. It's so applicable. It's, what are we doing? And I'm challenging everybody that's listening to this. What are you doing today to improve yourself today or for the future tomorrow? What are you doing? So, David, what are you doing to improve yourself?
Boy, where do I begin? Quite a process. It's hard to sort it all out when it's coming at you all at once.
Yeah. Well, you obviously asked for it all at once because you knew you could handle it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if I couldn't handle it, quite frankly. I mean, you know, sending it out to the world. So, yes, you can handle it. That's true. I mean, I guess there's something about God doesn't give you more than you can handle. So maybe there's some kind of truth to that in some way.
And maybe when we say God doesn't give you more than you can handle, maybe what we're really referring to is our higher self.
That's what I would say too. Yeah.
You know? So, well, tell us a little bit. I mean, I really was intrigued by your introducing the body alive principle. And also you have another book called The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories and illusion of the body. Tell us a little bit about that. It sounds like you have some Reiki background.
You know, I'm very much interested in hypnosis and energy healing. Body Alive Principle is about, you know, part of the study of mysticism is concerned with consciousness. And that book is about recognizing the conscious beings all around us and in everything, from squirrels to rocks or what have you. They all have some kind of consciousness and probably some kind of intelligence. And we don't see that because we're walking around in our bodies, doing what we're doing, minding our own business. And so we don't see what's going on around us. But even within our own bodies, our cells and our organs and our systems, they're also doing a lot for us. I mean, they're keeping us going. They're keeping us engaged in this human journey.
Yeah.
But we don't see that, and we don't see our relationship with our bodies generally, and we don't always realize that how our thoughts affect it and how some of our negative thoughts cause a lot of our pain and organ dysfunction and things like that. And that's really what that book was meant to do, was to just bring our awareness to how we're affecting ourselves in this life, because our cells individually and our organs, they pick up on what we're feeding it in our minds, and they react to it as sentient beings. And so, you know, the power of positive thinking is a great thing, and we need more of that. Even though I do talk a lot about, you know, overcoming guilt and negativity and how these things are very important, but it is important to, you know, have your positive thinking with your body and have a good relationship with it and treat it as your best friend because it's your vehicle in this world.
I really got it when I had a, this is way back when I had a teacher say, you are a creator. And I had to really think about that. I thought about it. I mean, we're creating every millisecond of our day. And if we're going to create, why not create something that you want? You know, I mean, if our words are that powerful and our thoughts are that powerful, then why not make it into a creation that you love and you enjoy and that benefits you and humanity? You know, so I was going to ask you about the principle. Have you ever heard of body talk?
Yes, I've heard the word. I think I almost used that for my book until I read it was taken.
This sounds very similar to it, where, you know, you talk to each of your organs and you kind of go through a process where you ask them questions, find out what's going on, what kind of emotion is that organ or that system holding. And I've done a lot of that work myself through my, a lot of my listeners know I went through a really bad car accident. And I was in bed for about 3 years. And so one of the things I also learned was if you literally imagine for all of you out there that have a disease or you have an illness or something very serious, if you imagine a little troop of soldiers and you can actually send them in and they're the good guys and you send them in to counteract the bacteria or the virus or whatever it is, the mold, you know, cancers, fungus, you know, you can actually see them going to battle and destroying that bacteria, virus, or fungus. And it just blows your mind because after you do that, you think you've just been doing like an imaginary mind game. All of a sudden, you start feeling better. It's amazing.
That's true. And, you know, a lot of these bacterial infections and cancer, those conditions are there because we allowed them to get there because of whatever was going on in our thoughts. So we do have control over those living viruses and bacteria too. So like you said, and with creative visualization, those things can be taken care of.
Yeah, and you also said we have control over it. Well, you know, I don't know if, of course, that's 3D language, right, for both of us. But in essence, we are the masters of our own reality, period.
That's right, personal reality.
We seem to think that everybody else is affecting us, but ultimately, every morning that we get up, we make the decision to stay in whatever we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So now, how about the other book, The First Truth of the Book of Metaphysical Theories and Illusion? What about that one?
Yeah, the theories. I write a lot of theories, and you know, I write as I go along with my experiences, you know, and so. If people follow that stuff, they'll see what I was doing. I do come up with a lot of things. Theories are like anything. You do come up with these things, and it's not for me because they're my theories. And I came to this realization that I put them out there because I do think that there's some value to them. But it's like even the scientific theories, like the Big Bang and evolution, things that I don't agree with, those are things that people will test for themselves and look into them and see if they're reasonable and whether they work or not for them. Personally, I don't like the Big Bang theory. I like an older theory. It was called the Infinite Universe Theory or the Steady State Theory.
Yeah.
I think it had a few names, Expanding Universe Theory.
Yeah.
And that's now obsolete, but that rang true for me in mysticism because what that theory was saying is that the universe has no beginning and no end, and it's expanding. And I think there was another part to that, but that's what I had read about that, I believe. And so, you know, you have your theories, and some are accurate, and but I, you know, your writing evolves as you have your new experiences, just like everything evolves, and my ideals evolve. But I certainly anything I write down, I will stand behind it, and if I'm wrong, I will certainly admit that in a future article if I feel that something wasn't quite right. So,
well, I think, David, everybody gets a very clear indication you're really trying to stay in an authentic position with your writing and your presentation. So I commend you on that. And I also want to say that no matter whether it's a theory, an article, a book, whatever, every single thing that we put out there, believe it or not, it has something for us to learn from. And this is where you really go into your truth factor. When you read something, if there's just one sentence in there, as I'm sure you can relate to this, one sentence can be like a catalyst for you for the whole rest of the day of processing and integrating it into your existing so-called belief construct. So nothing you write, nothing we say or do, I mean, this whole right or wrong or accuracy or whatever, it's like, well, who really knows how accurate anything is, you know? I mean, seriously, we're all questioning things right now because of the multidimensionality and the polarity issues, et cetera. But I'm just noticing what we're running out of time, and I want everybody to please support David. Please go to his website at www.findyourdivinelight.com. And you're just a delight to talk to, David. I've enjoyed our conversation today. I hope that others have glimpsed a little bit of different perspective on things, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Great. Same here. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks for what you're doing for the world. And you,
yeah, thank you.
You just take care, and thanks to everybody out there listening. I will talk to you next week, same time, same place.